Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit corin.com.
Hello, welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, a food writer and the director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deep understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from Brooklyn, New York. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deal in the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi, ramen, izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I try to demystify it in this program with my good guests. My guest today is Cinzia Mesorella, who is in charge of PR and communication at Kobe Shushinkan Breweries in Hyogo Prefecture. Hyogo is the home of Nada no Sake. It means sake from Nada, and it's synonymous with great sake. And Kobe Shushinkan Breweries was founded in 1751, and its award-winning brand, Fukuju, has been served at Nobel Prize dinners several times since 2008. And Kobe Shushinkan is also known for its sustainable-minded sake production. And last year, it released the world's first carbon-free sake called Fukuju Junmai Eco Zero. And Cinzia is from Italy, and since 2019, she's been playing a precious role in Kobe Shushinkan's global communication. And she's also a certified sake specialist. So today we'll discuss how Cinzia became the PR representative at the traditional sake brewery, what makes sake from Nada so special, Kobe Shushinkan's sustainable production philosophy, its award-winning labels, and much, much more. But before you start, Japan Eats is available on the Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify, whichever you listen to, and subscribe to Japan Eats. And please write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. Now, let's a conversation with Cinzia Mesorella. Hello, Cinzia. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And thank you for staying up so late. It's midnight in Japan, so thank you.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, as I mentioned earlier, you are from Italy. So, which part of Italy are you from, and what did you eat when you grew up?
Yes, I am from a small town near Ascoli Piceno, which is a city from the Marche region on the eastern coast of central Italy. I grew up in the countryside, so it's a very rural area. And my grandparents, they were farmers, so we ate our own homegrown vegetables. We also had chickens, so there were always fresh eggs. I grew up eating homemade meals made mostly by my grandmother, as my parents were out for work all day.
Mm, right. Sounds like a dream land. Everybody loves Italian food. And that's like a classic Italian dining table. So that's amazing.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, so you joined Kobe Shushinkan in 2019. So could you tell us why you went to Japan and decided to work at such a traditional sake brewery?
Yes, I went to Japan to learn Japanese. I wanted to use Japanese for work, and the only way to reach a level high enough to use for work was studying in Japan. So I came here, I attended a Japanese language school for a year and a half. And at first, my objective was to learn Japanese and then go back to Italy and work there. but after a while, I felt comfortable living here in Kobe and decided to look for a job here in Japan. So I did the usual shushoku katsudo, the activity to look for a job here in Japan. And I went to job fairs, I did many interviews, but I didn't really feel like I met the right company. But then at a job fair here in Kobe, I met Kobe Shinkan. And it was fate, I think. It just clicked. They were looking for staff that was able to speak not only English to welcome our guests from overseas, but also Japanese, since most of our customers, they're Japanese, and being able to do customer service in Japanese was essential for the company. And I found the job really interesting because I would be able to not only learn about sake, which is one of the pillars of Japanese traditional culture, but also make use of my language skills while meeting people from all over the world. So it was really, really interesting.
Right. Well, listeners, I've never spoken to Cynthia in Japanese. It's amazing. You can tell if she's from Italy or Japanese, grew up in Japan. It's really perfect. So I'm very impressed. And I heard also that at the beginning, you are interested in Japanese anime. That's how you got into Japanese culture, right?
Yes. I really like Japanese anime, and what made me want to learn Japanese at first was being able to understand anime without subtitles. So that was the start. But then I grew interested in the culture and language itself.
Right. And a deep into sake. That's probably, like you said, it's one of the deepest areas of Japanese culture. So I think Japanese sake industry got lucky to have you. So,
thank you.
Yeah. And then, so what does your typical day look like at Kobe Shushinkan?
So I have been working at the brewery's shop since my start in 2019. And last year, I also became part of the public relation team. So I don't really think that I have a typical day. I mean, some days I work at shop serving customers, serving sake tasting, doing brewery tours, helping with the management of the shop. And some other days, instead, I do translation work or interpreting. I handle or set up interviews or participate in meetings. So every day is different. And this is one of the aspects that I really enjoy about my work.
Right. Well, I can hear that. I can feel. Right. So, and then we'll get into Kobe Shinkan sake in a moment, but let's talk about Nada first, because Kobe is Nada. That's like synonymous with each other. And so where exactly is Nada first?
So Nada is an area, a district of Kobe, but it doesn't end in Kobe. It is also, it stretches up to Nishinomiya City, and it is widely known, as you said before, as Japan's best place for sake brewing. So a little bit of like geography for people that don't really know much about Japan. So Kobe is a port city in the center of Japan, about 15 minutes by train west from Osaka, which is Japan's second largest city, and about 30 minutes from Kyoto also. So Nada, being near the coast and also blessed with high quality rice and water, became the core of sake brewing during the Edo period in the 17th century. Yes. At the time, the demand for sake from Edo, which is the current Tokyo, shot up to its rapid growth. It was growing very rapidly, and the demand for sake was very high at the moment. So being really a port city was a very, very favorable position to become a very favorable spot for exporting sake.
Mm, right. Yeah, that's interesting. Like, Kyoto is the place of like imperial culture, and Osaka is for commerce, for, you know, ordinary people. And Kobe is, like you said, it's an port city. So it's still a very distinctive and kind of Western-minded culture, as well as very traditional, like where you are at the Kobe Shoshinkan. So, yeah, it's such an interesting contrast between the three cities. And yeah, that's basically Nada. So they say that the secret to the superior quality of sake from Nada no sake are the water and the rice. So could you tell us about them?
Yes, the rice. First, the rice is grown on Mount Rokko, which is the mountain behind Kobe. And the Mount Rokko geographical features and the weather also create what is called Rokko terroir, almost like wine terroir. And here in Mount Rokko, high quality Yamada Nishiki rice can be grown. Yamada Nishiki is a variety of rice which is considered to be the king of rice for sake brewing. And its grain is bigger than most varieties of rice. And it also has a big shinpaku, which is the starch core. And these are some of the aspects that makes it very good for sake brewing. And we are contracted with several farmers from the Ozo district of Kita Ward of Kobe to obtain high-quality Yamada Nishiki rice. And as for the water, it is called Miyamizu. Miyamizu is an underground spring from Mount Rokko, and it's very, very rich in minerals like potassium and calcium. These are very good for because they are nutrients for the yeast. But the best part of Miyamizu is its low iron content. So iron would affect the color and may cause undesirable flavors in the sake. So having a very low content, iron content, is very good for sake brewing. And Miyamizu is a hard water by Japanese standards, and the resulting sake is dry. But at Kobe Shinkan, we blend Miyamizu with pure water to achieve an elegant and refined flavor.
Mm, interesting. Right. Well, that's good to know, because Nada is, people say it's like a sake of men. And whereas like somewhere like in Niigata, it's like a soft water. It's more like a female. They describe kind of like a structural strength or mouthfeel. So yeah, I didn't know that. So that's interesting. You blend and the balance, yes, the hardness of water. Okay. So that's Nada. So we'll take a quick break here. And then when we come back, we'll dive into Kobe Shoshinkan's inspiring carbon neutral sake production. So please stay with us.
Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Corin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. The knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant, from French to Pan Asian to American, and that is why they are located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Corin's Tribeca showroom is home to the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan. Stop by to view their exquisitely designed tableware and the rarest natural sharpening stones. They have a whole range of knife services, from repair and rust removal to reshaping and realigning. Corin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the highest quality Japanese design to your table so you can experience the unparalleled quality of Japanese craftsmanship in your home or restaurant. For more information, visit corin.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats on Heritage Radio Network, HRN. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, and my guest today is Cinzia Mesorella, who is the in charge of PR and communication at Kobe Shushinkan Breweries in Hyogo Prefecture. So let's talk about Kobe Shushinkan. So Kobe Shushinkan was founded in 1751, and it's been making high-quality sake for over 207 years. So what is the sake-making philosophy of Kobe Shushinkan?
Yes, our philosophy is brewing delicious sake without environmental impact. So pollution and climate change pose both short and long-term risks because they threaten the stable procurement of high quality rice and water, and also we also need rice not only high quality but also in large quantity. So the climate change would pose a really huge risk, and this may mean the end of our brewery. The continuity of operation would be in danger. So we still maintain the ancient tradition of sake brewing, but we also integrate innovation. We have implemented over the years the latest technologies to preserve water and energy, and while at the same time maintaining these our standards for high quality sake brewing.
Right. So that commitment to sustainability, so it sounds like, you know, the more we are aware of global warming and all those ecological concerns, sounds like the Kobe Shushinkan became more committed to the sustainable kind of mindset. So when did it begin? Like 10, 20 years ago?
Compared to other countries, Japan is a bit late in promoting sustainability. However, I believe that Kobe Shushinkan has been one of the first breweries to start what we call our sustainability journey. And we began selling what is called in Japanese hakariuri over 20 years ago. So this hakariuri is sake on demand. So we fill the bottles upon request from our customers at the shop. So the first time you have to pay a fee for the bottle, then you bring it home, you drink it, and you wash it, and then you bring it back to the shop, and we fill it again. So in this case, from the second time on, you don't have to pay a fee for the bottle, just the sake that you buy. That is good on the wallet of our customers, and it also good for the environment. So This was over 20 years ago. But we have come a long way since then. And over the last 15 years, as I was saying before, we installed energy and water saving equipment. And we also have been making donations towards the preservation of the natural environment of Mount Rocco. And we also started new collaboration projects to promote sustainability, and in particular to promote sustainable farming methods. For example, the adoption of remote sensing by drone to manage rice cultivation. So thanks to the drones, the farmers can check the areas where more fertilizers is needed. For example, we also promote the use of recycled phosphorus as fertilizer. And the recycled phosphorus come from the sewage of Kobe City. And we also have many other ongoing projects and initiatives, for example, restore the rice paddies that have been abandoned over the years because of the aging population and the migration from the countryside to the city. So these rice paddies have been abandoned, and now they've become bamboo forests. So we are collaborating with a local ONG to restore these rice paddies and to cultivate rice for sake brewing.
So it's far beyond just making sustainable sake. It's kind of converting the whole community, creating a new ecosystem kind of thing.
Yes, we promote also the local production, local consumption. So we have strong connections to the local community.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wow. I'm very impressed. So,
thank you.
Yeah. So the so by the way, the Kobe Shushinko makes different types of sake, and Fukuju Junmai Ginjo is the one that has been served at the Nobel banquets, that is Nobel Prize dinners, and several times in the past since 2008. So that's a big achievement. So how do you describe its taste of the Fukuju Junmai Ginjo, and how did it get to the Nobel Prize dinner tables?
So our Fukuju Junmai Ginjo, which is also known overseas as Fukuju Blue Label, it has a sweet, fruity aroma of apricot and yellow peach, and a deep, rich flavor and rice umami. It is a medium dry sake, very easy to drink, especially for people that are not used to Japanese sake or don't really drink much. And we usually recommend you drink it in a wine glass so you can enjoy more the fruity aroma. As to how it got to be served at the Nobel Prize banquet, it was thanks to a fateful encounter in 2006 with Mr. Åke Nordgren. He is a Swedish sommelier and sake expert, and his passion for Japanese sake and his appreciation for our Junmai Ginjo led us to begin exporting to Sweden. And after Mr. Norgren proposed our Junmai Ginjo to other experts that were related to the Nobel Prize banquet, and our Junmai Ginjo received very high appreciation from these experts. So when in 2008, four Japanese people were recipients of the Nobel Prize, Fukuju Blue Label was Junmai Ginjo was served for the first time at the official ceremony. And since then, it was served several times whenever a Japanese won a Nobel Prize, which is quite often I saw.
Right. Well, that's great. So, yeah, it sounds like the sake really is friendly with any kind of food, because I don't think food was a Japanese cuisine served at Nobel banquet. So, yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, it is very easy to pair with both Japanese cuisine and Western cuisine as well.
Right. Okay. And now you have a new product called Fukuju Junmai Eco Zero, which was released in 2022, that's last year. And so this sake has been receiving multiple awards in Japan and globally for its sustainable approach. So what is Fukuju Junmai Eco Zero?
So Fukuju Junmai Eco Zero is a Junmai sake that pursues a very natural taste. So it not only achieves zero carbon emissions, but also aims to further reduce environmental impact. So first, as I was saying, it is brewed from a carbon neutral brewing process, but also we decided for the first time to brew a sake, a Junmai sake, with an 80% polishing of the rice. So in Japanese, the polishing ratio is called Seimai Bu'ai, and it's usually very easy to understand, but when we translate into English and we say a polishing ratio of 80%, we tend to understand that 80% is polished away and only 20% remains. Now, that is something that gets lost in translation because it's actually the opposite. So 20% is polished away and only 80% remains. So usually up to last year, our Junmai sake was 70% polishing. So we polished away 30%. So we decided to reduce the polishing time and stop at 80%. So we reduce the environmental impact because it takes less time, so there's less energy consumption. Also, we adopted what is called Kyokai dried yeast. So by using dried yeast, we can skip the shubo making process. So shubo making, shubo is in Japanese, written in kanji, is like the mother of the sake. So it's a very important step where we grow the population of yeast that's later used in the fermentation process. So by using dry yeast, we don't need to make shubo. So we can shorten the brewing process by 7 days. This is also less energy consumption and reduced environmental impacts. And also the bottle itself is very eco-friendly. We don't use a paper label. We print directly on the bottle. So we also use lead-free ink. And also, so the bottle is green, but it's actually transparent. So we apply coating to the bottle, and that later can be recycled more easily. So this is a eco-friendly bottle that also convey the Fukuju brand deliciousness and quality. So it's not just carbon neutral sake; it also have other several features environmentally friendly.
Well, it sounds like the methods you adopted can be utilized by other breweries. So you're really presenting a good model for sustainable sake production. So that is great. So you mentioned the milling rate of rice. Usually, Junmai versus Daiginjo, Junmai Daiginjo, there are the difference between how much rice is milled down. And the more milled down, people think that sake tend to be elegant and more delicate. But at the same time, less milling rate means that you can really enjoy that rice flavor. So how does the zero carbon production affect the taste of the sake?
Well, actually, being carbon neutral doesn't affect the flavor because the brewing process doesn't change, just the energy source. So there's no effect on the flavor of the sake. Though in this case, it is a new sake for us, the first Junmai at 80%. So it has very sharp umami, and it's dry sake. It's very smooth. Even though it's dry, it's less polished, but it's also a very smooth umami. So it's very nice to drink both cold or warmed up.
Right. Oh, that's perfect. So, yeah, if as far as the sake taste still remains as great as before, and also it can be really sustainable, that's amazing. And hopefully you're going to make more the sustainable version of maybe Daiginjo or Ginjo. For the noble banquet in the future.
Well, actually, so this Eco Zero is like our first new carbon neutral sake, but we have become carbon neutral for the entire brewing process. So the sake that we are brewing right now is also carbon neutral. So we still have some stock from last year, but I believe between February and April, we'll be able to switch to the new sake completely. So all of our products will be carbon neutral.
Right. Okay. And then are the zero carbon product, the Eco Zero, available outside Japan too?
Not at the moment, not yet. It's a new product, but we are introducing the new sake to our importers from overseas, and hopefully there will be some demand.
Right. I can expect it's going to be very I demanded sake. I really want to try that too. So I look forward to having it in New York. So what are the Kobe Shoshinkan's plans for sustainable future? I mean, it must be really a lot of stuff going on there.
Yes. So we have become carbon neutral for the brewing process. So scope one and scope two are carbon neutral, but the supply chain is different. So we are working towards making the entire supply chain carbon neutral. This is a target for 2030. And we are also contemplating installing solar panels. And we also want to start brewing sake from 100% organic rice. So by using organic rice, we can reduce environmental impact. And we also plan to increase the ratio of organic and low impact ingredients for our sake brewing.
Right. Amazing. So I think also you are influencing the other breweries in the sake industry as well as the local community. So yeah, please keep me posted. I'm very curious about this. And also,
of course, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. And then the Kobe Shoshinkan is open to the public, right? By appointment now. Okay. So what can visitors experience and who visits Kobe Shoshinkan?
Yes. So the tour of the brewery requires a prior reservation. Now, because of COVID, we do not accept reservation for different people at the same time. So if you come for a tour, it's just you and your group. So you wouldn't meet stranger people together on the tour. That's safer from a COVID point of view. Also, that's true for Japanese guests and also overseas guests. So the tour includes a video about sake brewing, which is available in Japanese, English, and Chinese. And then there's a tour of the facility to a glass paneled corridor, an English guide, myself or one of my colleagues, can be available upon request. And then there's tasting of several of our sake. So this is the standard tour. And we also have pamphlets in 16 languages to cater to as many people as possible. So after reopening, the reopening of the international tourism, we are seeing a lot of foreign customers. We are not yet at the levels from before COVID, but we believe that we are going to exceed those numbers from year on. Many customers from overseas really want to come to Japan now, I hear. So we expect many, many foreign customers. We also have a Japanese traditional restaurant on the premises called Sakabayashi. And here our guests can enjoy kaiseki ryori, which is the traditional course meal. Which is made with seasonal fresh ingredients. So you can really have a full Japanese traditional experience at Kobe Shoshinkan.
Right. And I looked up the map. It's fairly easy to get there, right? Because it's not in the middle of nature. So it's a city kind of brewery.
Yes. It's in the city. And the closest train line is the Hanshin line, and from Ishigawa Station, you just have to walk about 8 minutes to reach Kobe Shinkan.
Nice. Okay, so I'll be there next time I visit Kobe for sure.
I'll be waiting.
All right, so what are your plans and dreams for you personally in 2023 and beyond?
Well, I am not the type that can easily answer where do you see yourself in 10 years, for example? I have no idea. I mean, 10 years ago, I would have never thought, not in a million years, that I would be living in Japan or working at the sake breweries or being a guest for an American radio program. That was not in the picture. But here I am. So I don't know what I will be doing. Well, what I know is that I like my job right now. I like what I'm doing, and I would like to continue on this path and see what's up for me.
Right. Yeah. I totally agree. I'm like, I can't plan because life is unpredictable in a good way. So yeah, I'm sure doors going to keep opening for you, so I can tell.
Thank you.
So where can we find your updates online and on social media?
Yes, we have a multilingual website, which is called enjoyfukuju.com. You can choose your preferred language. You can also find us on Facebook as shishinkan.fukuju for the Japanese version, or Fukuju Sake for our English page. The English page is not very much updated, but we are working towards maintaining regular updates. And the shop also has an Instagram page, which is called shishinkan underscore toumyogura, toumyogura.
Okay, right. And so we have a YouTube channel, that's fukuju1751, and Twitter, it's at shushinkan, S-H-U underscore S-H-I-N underscore K-A-N. So, and if you just look up, you know, listeners, Fukuju, F-U-K-U-J-U, you're going to find it. It's a beautiful bottle of sake. So, yeah, there's so many ways to find the information. So, okay, so thank you so much for joining us today, Jinzia.
Thank you for having me.
Right, so keep me posted, and hopefully you can come back for updates.
Of course. Of course. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for short topics or guests, please contact us at japanese@heritageradionetwork.org or akikoatema.com. Japan News is a weekly program, and it's always available at heritageradionetwork.org, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. Our engineer is Matt Patterson, and thank you for listening. I will see you next week. Japan Eats is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.